Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, regular listeners, you may have spotted that we've changed our name. It's now Honey & Co. The Food Sessions.
So if you hear this sound, it's just us making dinner.
Well, that and the fact that we're not allowed to use our old title anymore.
It's just been a bit of a thing, but don't worry about it.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Hi, welcome to Honey & Co. I'm Itamar Surlovich.
And I'm Sarit Packer.
This week, we're in our friend's garden in southeast London. We're going to light up the barbecue and we're going to cook some dishes from our upcoming book, Chasing Smoke.
Our book is all about our travels around the Levant, chasing fires everywhere, cooking on grills. We'd love you to have a taste of it.
Itamar, I'm going to go and start the fire. You can tell everyone what we're going to cook.
This week's episode is inspired by one of our favorite trips and our favorite countries. It's Jordan.
And we've kept the best for last because this is our fifth episode.
Yes, and of course we need to end on a sweet note. And we're going to make knafeh, which is, I think, I have to say the best knafeh I had in my life was in Jordan, in Amman.
And made on charcoal, which we had never like really thought of before, I suppose, because it's a sweet and you don't directly correlate it with cooking on fire. It is the only real sweet dish in the book. But Jordan was like a special trip for us, wasn't it? It was magical.
Yeah, the most hospitable, friendly people you'll ever meet in your life. Delicious food. Also in this episode, we are going to catch up with some of the people we met on the way in our travels.
We're going to be talking to Ramzi Hanefia. He was our guide in Jordan and boy, did it work well for us. He's a great guy, so much fun. We had the best trip. He took us everywhere. We ate everything.
Good music as well.
Good music. Like, we had a blast. He's part of a kind of group of guys that are really interested in reviving the love of nature and travel and tourism in Jordan. And we can't wait to speak to him again.
And we're also going to talk to Patricia Niven, the Red Mullet, our beautiful photographer, who was the best travel companion anyone can ever have.
Okay, we'll hear from them both a bit later. First, let's cook.
We're going to make knafeh now. It's a salty, sweet, cheesy dessert encased in very crisp pastry that's drenched with orange blossom syrup. It's kind of a sweet, savory, soft, crunchy mix that we love so much. And the best version, I think, that I've had was in Jordan, in Amman.
It was beautiful. Like a shop dedicated to this. Three different versions. You kind of choose your version at the counter. So one has this, like, what we would call traditional kadaif pastry. Nice long strands. Then one is like a sealed pastry, I suppose. Like a phyllo more. And then one was this kind of crazy something between a crumble, between a pastry. And I tried to get the lovely staff to tell me how they made this pastry.
They were very cagey.
They were cagey. They kept saying it was something to do with semolina. They wouldn't tell me.
But then other people that we asked around, they were a little bit more forthcoming. And what this pastry really is the same kadaif pastry, the same long strand that you would know from baklava and things like that, that's just been dried up, crushed to a very, very fine texture, and then blended with a little bit of sugar and clarified butter, usually.
And then just very lightly baked. Yeah. Before we start that, like with any one of these traditional desserts, I'm going to start with making a sugar syrup. And I'm just going to do it on the fire, actually. So this is called a 2-to-1 syrup. It's a really thick, really rich syrup. So sugar first, double the amount of water. Then we add the water, a bit of lemon juice just to help it not seize and not crystallize. And we just put that on the stove to cook. And we're going to bring that to like a nice little boil, simmer it really slowly, depending on the heat of your stove, 5 to 10 minutes. You want to develop a really nice, thick syrup. So while the fire is catching and becoming really beautiful, we're going to have a little chat with some friends that we met along the way. Just a little trip down memory lane. Sariti!
Hey, Patricia!
Hi, Itamar!
And Itamar!
Hey, darling fish!
Hello, loves! We've reached our last trip, you know.
Oh, no, so it's not true.
I mean, for this book, for this, you know.
Good, that's what I was wanting.
Yeah.
Just a little kind of add-on.
I mean, also it was our last trip because we couldn't get to complete Lebanon, but we went to Jordan.
Yes, we did.
And we were hoping we would sneak Lebanon in before lockdown, but we didn't. Mm.
I mean, I have to say I was caught by surprise at how much I love Jordan.
Mm.
I loved Amman. I thought Amman was such a cool town.
So vibrant.
Yeah, but also there's something, you know, a lot of the places that we went around the Middle East are a little bit rushed and a little bit like hectic.
Mm.
But Amman is something very, very sort of stately about it.
Yeah, you're right. It was actually, wasn't it?
And it was almost like a spiritual kind of feeling, wasn't it? When we went up to the citadel, was it called? What was the...
Yeah.
The mountain and the muezzin calling from all the different mosques around and echoes
echoing
and
through the hills.
Reverberates through the hills.
That was so special. And they're pigeons. They're flying in formation.
But it's just nice because there's like this tiny, tiny delay between the different calls of the muezzin. So they would overlap in like this kind of beautiful, like... Yeah. Also, we kind of experienced this thing of like these, you know, we have it a bit in Israel, but in Jordan, I think it's even more pronounced, this aspect that from one side, like going up north is kind of hilly and green, and we kind of driving down all the way down into the desert and into Petra, and it changes as you're driving through it in like a few hours. You're in a completely different...
Yeah, it was like a moonscape in parts, wasn't it, on the drive, and then the pink stone in Petra.
Aren't they amazing?
And the scale of it.
You could have done a whole book just of pictures of Petra.
Completely. Yeah. I felt like that area was run by the kids. Like the 10-year-olds on camels and donkeys. Just
with a cigarette.
Yes. Do we see like a 4-year-old smoking or something?
We saw everyone smoking.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of smoking in Jordan. But the charging through the kind of caverns on 4-legged animals...
Yeah.
By children. Like, was amazing.
But also they had this like this kind of makeup, like the coal kind of, you know, the black makeup on their eyes for the boys. And it was kind of like, they were stunning.
Yeah, that's where Johnny Depp got his idea from.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
For sure. He totally looked like that. He had all the layers and the textures and the makeup and the jewels.
The headgear.
Yeah.
He was totally that. Bit stoned.
It was very, very beautiful. And you kind of do that walk and you kind of know what you're expecting walking down to Petra. And in your head, you've seen it all in the, you know, in pictures, but nothing really prepares you to how beautiful it is.
No, you could see like a trillion pictures of it, but still it doesn't even begin.
To suddenly come across from the rawness of the caverns to this sculpted facade of the temple was just, I don't know. I mean, isn't it one of the wonders of the world? Not surprisingly.
We have zero knowledge.
We have zero knowledge of the wonders. We mostly focus on the food, and food we did a lot as well. I mean,
we spent
a whole day with Saif's mum. She was cooking mansa for us. That was beautiful.
That was special, wasn't
it?
Do you remember like this frizzing of excitement? Like the whole family's like, mansa.
Special occasion food, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like... the national dish, but also more than the national dish because they just love it so much. There was so much excitement. And it is rice and lamb. So the rice is cooked in the lamb broth, I guess. And the lamb is completely falling off the bone in this kind of fermented yogurt sauce. Which I'm not doing it justice.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound that good.
But it's so good.
But it tastes amazing.
The best part about the mansaf is kind of everything that's sprinkled on top, the roasted nuts and pine nuts and parsley, and then
they made us eat it with our hands like they would, which is my favorite way of eating anyway.
Was it just left-handed? Did you have to have one hand behind your back?
Yeah. One hand behind our back, standing, and then taking a ball of rice, putting some lamb and some almond on top and kind of popping it in your mouth. And we laughed and we said, this is kind of like, well, like Jordanian sushi. They invented sushi and actually the Japanese have just stolen it. But it's like a celebration for the whole family. Everyone kind of sits around these big platters and there's this whole ceremony of like eating more than your body weight of rice and lamb.
It took a long time to prepare, didn't it? I think it was well underway by the time we got to Safe's home.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then, you know, when we went in the market and it was so beautiful and because of the time of year, there was all these like the green almonds, like a kind of street snack that you can have, or
really fresh and crispy.
Yeah,
oh, really, and the desert truffles. You remember?
Oh yeah, piles of desert truffles.
You know, they look like potatoes, but they call them desert truffles. And they say, yeah, you can only get like this one week in the year after a thunderstorm. So if we don't have a thunderstorm, no desert truffles. I think we brought some back to London, didn't we?
I think we did.
One day we'll come back.
We will go and get some more.
That would be fantastic.
We just need to go after a thunderstorm.
Betsy, we want to thank you for like traveling with us and recording it, because we are so lucky because we have like all the picture memories of it. So I get Itamar to write beautifully about it, you to take beautiful pictures about it, you know. It's like my life is being recorded as I live it. It's amazing.
You're like Beyonce.
Thank you.
I am Beyonce.
Bye, fish.
Bye.
Bye. That was fun, huh?
Yeah, it was great catching up.
I'm going to take another pan and drizzle some clarified butter into it.
And this is going to be our knafe.
This will be our knafe itself. So the only thing really you want to have ready is a plate, because we are going to tip it. It's a dessert you bake upside down, if that makes sense. I've just poured some clarified butter and I'm kind of
swirling
it around the tin so it covers the tin. You can use a frying pan or a tin. That goes on your heat. And then a nice layer of this pastry all on the bottom. Don't be too shy, but keep like something like 4 tablespoons for later to just sprinkle on the top. On the bottom it will be, actually, again, because we're flipping it. So most of the pastry, bar 4 tablespoons, goes into this pan. Press it down, drizzle a tiny bit more of the clarified butter, and then we're going to put cheese on it. Cheese, we're going to use a mix of like soft ball mozzarella and grated pizza mozzarella, just a combination of the two. Sprinkle it, but keep it a bit away from the sides, just so that you can see your pastry and what it's doing, basically how much the pastry is browning. You kind of want to shred the mozzarella ball and put the grated stuff all over the top. So this is quite a bit of cheese.
And then the idea is to recreate the traditional cheese that you would use for it.
It's a Lebanese string cheese, isn't it?
Yeah,
usually?
Or string cheese. I don't know if it's necessarily Lebanese.
No, I suppose it is any kind of string
but
cheese.
But it is quite milky, it's quite fresh, and it's quite stringy. It has a little bit of a squeak to it. So this combination of fresh mozzarella and dry firm mozzarella works really, really well. And so one more bite for the chef.
Yeah. So once your cheese is in, we take the last 4 tablespoons that we had left of this mix and we sprinkle it on top of the cheese. Our sugar syrup also, I'm just going to swirl it a bit. And then the other thing we do, twist the pan so that it cooks evenly, because don't forget this is a fire and the heat can be uneven in places. I'm going to sprinkle that tiny bit of remaining pastry on top of the cheese, but I'm not going to cover it entirely. I want to see the cheese because it needs to be visible for me to see when it starts to melt properly. This entire time we're turning it on the heat. And another swivel.
It's definitely start to crisp up on the edges, and you can see the cheese starting to melt. How's our syrup doing?
Syrup is just about coming to a boil. We've kind of keeping the heat quite mellow on this barbecue.
Yeah, you want to have quite a gentle heat there because you want it all to crisp up properly, don't you?
Mm.
But it does need more time. It needs for the cheese to completely melt.
Yeah, we're going to wait until that cheese kind of dissolves and bubbles.
We're just going to have a little chat, build up the appetite.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ramsey.
Hey.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Habibi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, oh, it's good. So nice to hear your voice, Ramsey.
It's so good to hear you, man.
Long time.
Such a long time. Do you know what? When we left Jordan, I said to Sarit, we're going to come back every year in the spring and we're going to hang out with Ramsey. And I was hoping that you'd come to us in the summer.
Yeah, one day, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. We were going to, you know, have more adventures with you because we keep looking on Instagram, seeing all your amazing adventures walking around Jordan, and we are so jealous.
Yeah, I'm still doing adventures, yeah. Even the situation is really weird because of Corona, but yeah, I'm still trying to live.
So Ramsey is an adventure guide and he knows Jordan like nobody else. Ramsey, tell us a little bit about the different landscapes in Jordan.
Okay, Jordan is like three sections. One of them is desert and another is the mountains and the other part is the lowest point on earth. It's Dead Sea and Red Sea. It's around 1,000 kilometers long. It's like minus 400 above the sea level. It's the lowest point on earth. The elevation and the climate there is really different than other places in this world.
It's quite cold, no? Like we saw a lot of flowers, a lot of green, a lot of water.
It's really green. So I don't know. I find that amazing.
Yeah, I was so surprised by it.
You can change the climate and the temperature and the elevation in half an hour.
Yeah. It was one of the best days of all of our trips, Ramsey, when you took us up into the mountains.
That was crazy, yeah.
You cooked on the fire for us tomato. You cooked galliat bandura. Right? This is how you say it?
Ah, galliat bandura, yeah, right. Yeah. Miranda was asking me about that also.
Yeah, Miranda is our producer, which he was talking
about. I was telling Miranda that we get some tomato from the low part of Jordan and we went to the mountains to cook it.
Yes.
It's one of the most simple things you can cook in Jordan. It's tomato, garlic, olive oil, and onions. Sometimes you add fresh mint, black pepper, salt. Yeah. It's a simple dish.
And you just cook it until the tomatoes collapse.
You
cooked it on the fire, so it tasted like a bit smoky as well. It was so delicious.
It tastes different when it cook when you cook it on the fire.
Yeah.
It tastes like smoky.
Yeah, just like this kind of big wok on a fire, and it was just special. We just had it with bread, and it was the best meal.
Yeah, anything we cook in Sajiyya, we have a dish like it's a rounded dish. Anything you put in the Sajiyya, we call it Sajiyya. If you put chicken in the Sajiyya and you cook it, we call it Sajiyya. If you put tomato and garlic, onions, olive oil, and you cook it in the Sajiyya, it's also Sajiyya. This is the name of the cooking ban, and it become the name of the dish that you cook in it.
I love that. It's a bit like when you say tagine in Moroccan, and everything, it doesn't matter what is inside the tagine.
That's it.
You know, this dish is in the book, Ramzi, in our new book. And there you making galiad bandura.
A picture of me doing that?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Now we need your address so we can send you a book and you can see yourself in the book.
I would love to see that. If you're going to send me a copy, I'm going to be so happy.
For sure.
Of course I'd like to send you a copy. For us, it is very special to, you know, when we went to Saif's house and his mom cooked mansaf, this was so special for us to see.
It was a special night, yeah.
To see how it is cooked at home. It was really special for us. And we were so lucky
You was knowing everything about mansaf. I was surprised by that. And I remember that day in downtown when Itamar saw someone making grilled kebab on the street. And he was helping the man to cook the food right. I was like, what? You're doing that better than him? This is.
I should ask. He should give me money. No, but he gave me kebab. Is better.
You remember, we went one day on a long walk up with a group of. You kind of lead a lot of young people on walks up in the mountain. We went to
Ajloun.
Ajloun. So beautiful.
You joined us for a hike, yeah?
Yeah, up into the mountains.
Into the mountains of Ajloun, yeah, right. That was a nice day. Yeah. But I don't remember what we eat that day.
Ah, at the end, we ate in a Bedouin camp, at the end of the...
The camp of Isa Shari, yeah.
We had zarb in
Yeah, they made zarb and...
And knafe on the fire. We had like a big chunk
and knafe, yeah, on the fire.
Ah, and Sarit made bread.
It's true. I made bread with them, remember? Right. Pebble bread in the oven with the stones.
We still go to Ahmed to make us fresh bread.
Oh, it was so delicious.
Ah, that was fermented bread.
And we walked in a river of water, so we all had wet feet. And we took off, you know, we took off the shoes and we cooked bread in the fire. And we got our feet warm in the fire, near the fire.
After that hike, you were so tired. We were heading to Bitra and I was driving. I was the only one awake in that car. Everyone was sleeping around me.
Lucky you were awake, Ramzi.
I remember. And we went to Bitra after that. We did a hike and we saw everything. And we head to Wadiram after that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we spend the night in Vadiram.
Such a long day, wow.
For me, what was so special is that we could be like, in the morning, we were like in the hills. It was completely green. There were rivers and like water everywhere. It's like...
It's like a different country. And in 1 hour, you can be in Dead Sea.
1 hour, we travel south and we're in the desert.
You were in the desert with us in 1 hour.
Amazing.
This is right. It was an amazing trip. Yeah, well, I was trying my best to talk in a good English, but sometimes my English doesn't help me.
Ramzi, your English is fantastic, really.
Your English is fantastic, and honestly, the week we spent with you was so magical, really.
It was such a nice week. I loved that week.
As soon as you can get tourists back in Jordan, we are sending everyone to you.
Inshallah, yeah. I hope so, inshallah.
No, we will be the first in line.
We will be the first and then everyone else after us.
Inshallah, I would love to see you again, of course.
Okay, thank you so much, Ramzi.
Yeah. Ahlan, 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 you're welcome.
Shukran, Habibi. Be ready to eat.
I'm so hungry, like just thinking, you know, talking to them just made me think of everything we ate and I'm starving. And I'm occasionally just using a flat plate to just press it down,
just so that we have a nice kind of even cook going on everywhere. It's a bit of a game of patience, waiting for that. You want to see the color coming around the sides of the pan. And then I suppose the biggest question is, when we flip it, will it work?
Certainly there's enough butter there for it to flip. Nothing's going to stick to this pan with that much clarified butter going to it.
Do you remember we went one day for this trip and they were cooking it on this, the massive, massive tray, like a wedding tray of this. And they kept swirling it like they needed three guys to swirl this tray.
Yeah.
And they kept being unhappy with how cooked it was.
In Jordan, we were told it's very, like, for an engagement party, the knafe guys would come. There'd be like, I don't know, that many hundreds of people. And they would just come, get the fire on, do their knafe. Everyone gets a piece, engagement, done. Oh, pistachios. Pistachios are so important.
Oh, yeah, you can chop some pistachios while we wait there, just to sprinkle on the other side after we've drizzled our syrup.
We were told the more pistachios you have, the more generous and, you know,
and
sort
auspicious
of,
you seem as a host. I mean, it's definitely not considered a dessert, per se. It's considered something you eat as a pick-me-up during the day, any time of day. I'm using a traditional knafe pan, so this is like a pan without a handle. I actually think they should have handles. It would be so much easier than trying to do this without a handle. But traditionally, you don't have a handle.
I'm just crushing these pistachios. And I think we can be quite generous with them as well.
Sugar syrup's almost boiling. Okay, so our cheese has started to melt onto the pan here. And you can hear it kind of start to sizzle and bubble. So we get, very carefully take a plate, flip it on top of the tray, and then together with the cloth, we flip, and we hope for good things. Give it a tap of joy and luck. Okay, taps of joy. Let's hope for good things. Here we go. Cheesy, messy, golden-y. Right. Here we go. A bit of syrup all over the top. So you always add a bit of orange blossom at the end. Just adds like a really beautiful fragrance. Good dousing all over. You're shaking it a bit?
Yeah.
And then pour it over. You want to hear it kind of
really drinking it in. So what's the rule? Cold syrup, hot cake?
If you get a chance. It does. If you get a chance for your syrup to cool down, then you usually use cold syrup, hot cake, or hot syrup, cold cake.
And I'm just going to add my
pistachios all over.
Yeah, very generously. Yeah, that looks the part, doesn't it?
Now, the whole thing is you eat it hot. So you want that kind of stringy cheese to be melted and stuff like that. This is really not a dessert you eat cold. Mm. Oh, that crisp pastry is delicious. And you really do need that full amount of syrup because...
Yeah, you always think that it's going to be too much, but then somehow...
No, it really... Because there's no other sugar really added here.
Certainly enough butter and cheese.
Yeah, I didn't say it doesn't have anything bad about it. That's all right.
That is fine. That is really good. I think knafe is one of those things that if you love it, you're fanatic about it.
I love it.
I love it. I never used to.
No, you didn't. When we started dating, you weren't a massive fan. That's because the one they have in the old city in Jerusalem is just not as nice. I'm starting an argument.
I'm not even going to go there.
Well, it isn't.
I mean, I do love it now. And I'm kind of sad that I do.
Because it's, you know, this is a special treat kind of dessert. You don't have this every day.
But actually, this would do...
A good 8 people.
Yeah. Yeah, so you only have like a tiny, tiny bit.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going in for a tiny bit more.
I want to try for one of the crispy bits.
The crispy bits are just super.
And seen.
So So guys, if you enjoyed cooking with us today, really hope you listen to the other four episodes in this series. It's kind of a mini series to give you inspiration, a summer project, say, of cooking on your barbecue, food from all around the Levant. We cooked in Israel, in Egypt, in Jordan, in Turkey, and in Greece. We had such an amazing time. Hopefully, if you cook along with us, then you'll get a bit of a flavor of the trip we had. It will take you, transport you to another place until travel is completely safe again. Yeah, I hope you enjoy. And if you want to hear more or read more about our trips, it's all in our book, Chasing Smoke.
We want to thank our guest, Ramzi Hanafiya. Hope we can see you again soon. And of course, to Patricia Neven. We want to say a big thank you to our producer, Miranda Hinckley, our audio engineer, Paul Brogdon, and to Daniel Winshall for our fancy new theme music. Special thank you to Louisa Cornford, a.k.a. Lulu, head of communication in Honey & Co., plus so much more. And to our dear friend, Polly Russell, for lending us her garden.
It's goodbye for me, Sarit Packer.
And for me, Tomas Rulovic. Thank you so much for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.